إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, first and foremost, I'd like to welcome some guests that are visiting the community center, the Islamic center today, and I hope they have a fruitful visit and an educational visit, and I want everybody to make sure that they are greeted warmly as you pass by them. Please try to say at least hi as you're seeing them on your way out. Today, inshallah, I'm going to be talking mainly about the story of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, in biblical terms, Ayyub is Job. Ayyub is the Arabic name for Job. And the story about Ayyub is very relevant in this day and age, in which there are so many fears attributed to various illnesses and so on and so forth. We need to reflect a little bit on the story of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. The story goes that Ayyub, he was a very, very rich man. He had a lot of land, wives, children. He was living a lifestyle which was full of blessings for him. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tested him by afflicting him with a kind of illness. And that illness was such that nobody wanted to associate with him. Nobody wanted to be with him. It was some sort of illness on his skin which people were afraid that they would catch from him. And it got to a point that he lost everything. He lost his lands. He lost his family. His children went away from him. And he was put on the outskirts of the village where he could not be near anybody and he could not affect anybody with this illness. The only person that continued to support him in this very difficult time was his wife. This wife, she stuck by him, she cleaned him, she bathed him, she looked after him, she assisted him with his daily needs. And it got to a point where she even became a servant in people's houses so that she could provide and put food on the table for her husband. She did this until it became known amongst the community that she's the wife of Ayyub, and then even she became shunned, with the thinking that if she is associating with Ayyub, then she is going to bring that illness to us, so therefore she should be shunned, and people stopped employing her and she could not work anymore to provide and put food on the table for Ayyub. In the height of desperation, what she did, she cut off one of the locks of her hair on the side of her hair and she sold it just so that she could feed Ayyub. So what people did with the hair at that time, maybe they made a wig or made extensions of the hair, whatever they did with it, but she sold it. She put food on the table. Ayyub asked her that, "How come there's such delicious food on the table today? Where did you get the money for this?" So she said, "Well, I was working," and she basically brushed off the question. The next day, it got to a point again. No food on the table. She sells the second lock of her hair and brings the money and puts food in front of Ayyub alayhi salam. And again he asks her, "Where did you get the money for this food?" So she kind of brushed it aside, and then he implored her. He took an oath and said that, "I will not eat until you tell me where you got the money for this." So then she removed her headscarf and Ayub saw that she had no hair. It was at this point that he made a complaint, you can say, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of a complaint, and he said, Rabbi, inni massani al-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. He said, oh my Lord, this dhurr, this harm has touched me, and you are the most merciful of mercifuls. So think that he's been in this illness for so many years, and he's lost everything. He's lost his children, he's lost his lands, and he's lost everything that he ever owned. He led a very luxurious lifestyle, and this situation that he's in, for a normal person, would be the worst situation ever. That a person who's living a luxurious lifestyle, and he loses everything, and he has to live in poverty, not knowing where his next meal is coming from, and he has not had a complaint since then. But when he sees that his wife has had to resort to selling her own hair to put food on the table, that's when he makes the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you know, this is something beyond what I can bear anymore. And he made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, Urkud birijlik hada mughtasalun baridun wa sharab, that hit the ground with your foot, and from this ground will erupt a spring, and you should drink from this spring, you should bathe with that spring, and you will become well again. So this is what he did. The spring was produced, and he bathed in that spring, he drank from that spring, and then he became well again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he replaced all that he had lost and gave him double that he had before that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلًا, we gave him his family, وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعْهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا, and on top of that we doubled what he had from before as a mercy from us. وَذِكْرَ لِوْلِي الْأَلْبَابِ, and it was a reminder for the people of understanding. What is the reminder in there for us? First and foremost, we as Muslims, we are going to be afflicted in so many ways. As human beings, we're going to be afflicted in so many ways. But we are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be patient, to learn from the story of Ayyub alayhi salam, and not complain. Be patient in this adversity and this illness and in sickness, with the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us. And the other understanding is that ultimately, after all these hardships and difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He opens things up for us, and He makes things easy for us again, if we are indeed and truly patient. So this is the thing that we have to think about. The thing about being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءُ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. The people that are tested most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the prophets, the messengers, and then the pious people. And then, according to their status, they are tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to another hadith, يُبْتَلَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى حَسْبِ دِينِ. A person is tested according to the level of religion that he has. فَإِنْ كَانَ دِينُهُ صُلْبًا اِشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهُ. If his deen, if his religion is strong, then his bala, his testing will be worst, and it will be the most severe. So we should never think that Allah is putting me through hardship, He's putting me through difficulty, He's giving me illness, He's making me sick, He's making my family sick. We should never think along those lines. We should think it to be a test of Allah. And the best way to pass any test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be patient and to wait for Allah to bring about some kind of ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us time and again in the Quran how He will test us again and again. The very birth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about in Surah Al-Dahr, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. That the creation of the human being is such that we test him the purpose of his creation is that he is to be tested, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we made him sami' and basir, we made him a person of who could see, a person who could hear, a person with intellect, a person of understanding, and all of these things that Allah has given us, these senses that Allah has given us, these are means of testing us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they're going to be left alone just by saying we have faith and they're not going to be tested? It's not enough for us to say and claim that we have faith, and then if Allah brings about any kind of test, we start complaining and griping. We will be tested, and this is a certainty. What will we be tested in? Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Most certainly we will test you, Allah says. The word used is very powerful, with a lot of taqeed, a lot of stress. Most certainly we will test you. With what? Sometimes you will get cold, a fear of something. Sometimes you'll get hunger. Sometimes you'll get deficiency in your wealth. And you will get deficiency in your crops. But Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. The people who are patient in this adversity, give them the glad news. Give them glad tidings that Allah will reward them. Who are those people? Whenever they are afflicted with these problems, when they are afflicted with these tests, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We belong to Allah. Everything we have, it belongs to Allah. And we are going to return back to Him one day anyway. So whatever Allah wants to do with us, whatever He chooses to do with us, it is up to Him. It is in His hands. We should be patient at that time and accept it as being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لِعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ عِنْدِي جَزَاءِ إِذَا قَبَضْتُ صَفِيَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا ثُمَّ احْتَسَبَهُ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. The only thing that I can reward a person whom is deprived of one of his blessed things. Safi is from the word, istafa, something chosen, something preferred. So his preferred thing, whatever blessing he has, Allah takes it away from him and he is patient for it. He has ihtisab. Ihtisab means he hopes for a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. The reward for that will be Jannah, according to this hadith Qudsi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test us in many ways. So we should be patient in those tests. According to another hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Inna Allah ta'ala qal, إِذَا تَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ. If I test my slave, my servant, with his two beloved things." What are the two beloved things? According to the hadith, عَيْنَيْ, his eyes, فَصَبَرْ, and he is patient, أَوَّطُّهُ مِنْهُمَا الْجَنَّةِ. If Allah deprives a person of his eyesight, and he is patient upon that deprivation, he is patient upon this test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises him Jannah for that. According to another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have been asked by Aisha radiallahu anha. She asked about ta'un, about a plague. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَانَ عَذَابًا يَبْعَثُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is a punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to whoever He wants. فَجَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى رَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. But it is a rahmah, it is a mercy for the people of Iman, for the people of faith. فَلَيْسَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَقَعُ التَّعُونَ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي بَلَدِهِ صَابِرًا مُحْتَسِبًا يعلم أنه لن يصيبه إلا ما كتب الله له إلا كان له مثل أجر الشهيد. إلا كان له مثل أجر الشهيد. That if a person is afflicted with a plague and he stays in that place, he doesn't try to run away from that plague with this belief that the only thing that will happen to him is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him, and he dies in that situation, then he will get the reward of a shaheed. He will get the reward of a martyr. In fact, the hadith doesn't even mention anything about dying. So if you take the hadith at face value, then even if he stays there and he survives that, he will even get the reward of a shaheed, the reward of a martyr. So this actually is the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ about the ta'un, about the plague. This is something that any contagious illness, we have to try to contain it. The teaching of the Prophet is quarantine. 1400 years ago, he told us that if you are in a situation where you are afflicted with a contagious illness or a plague, you should stay in that place. You should not leave that place. Why? To try to contain that illness, and the people who are afflicted with it, they might pass away, they might die, but at least it will be contained and it will not spread anywhere. And also, if you are outside an area where the ta'un is, where the plague is, you are instructed not to go inside that area. Okay, so now, obviously, it's different with the vaccines and so on, that if a person is vaccinated and is protected against a certain type of illness, then of course he can be a little bit relaxed about this ruling. But in those days, they did not have the vaccinations, but the concept of quarantine was taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ. And it's related about one of the companions of the Prophet, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that him and his army were afflicted with a plague while they were in Palestine during an expedition, and the instruction was that they have to stay in the place. And they stayed in the place and they were all wiped out. They died. But they did not break the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ. And if you go just outside Tel Aviv now, there is a memorial for them in a park which is actually occupied territory, occupied by Israel. But there's a park there, and there's a post or monumental stone which mentions that on this hill lies the army of Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, who, upon instruction by the Prophet, he was told not to move from the area because of a plague. He and his army stayed here and they died in that situation, and here they are still buried to this day. So this is in Palestine, they are still buried there. And this is the lesson that we learn from it. We should exercise extreme caution whenever there's an illness, and we have to try our best to avoid it. But if something does happen to us, then we should think that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should accept it and be patient with it. Now, a person is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are many things that a person gains from this testing. First of all, takfiru sayyi'at. A person, sayyi'at are basically deleted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His bad deeds are deleted. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to visit a sick person, one of the things he used to say was, La ba's, tahur insha'Allah. Don't worry, there's nothing to be worried about. This is a purification for you, insha'Allah. This is a purification from the sins that you've done, and you should regard it as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your sins are being deleted and wiped out, and you should not think of it as something that is a punishment or anything of the sort. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمُ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍ وَلَا حَزْنٍ وَلَا أَذَنٍ وَلَا غَمٍ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةُ يُشَاكُهَا إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ. Whenever a person is afflicted with any kind of problem or worry or grief or situation or illness, his sins are forgiven, even when he gets a thorn in his foot. This is a means of the forgiveness of his sins. It's also the next thing that we benefit from these illnesses is raf'ul manzila, that a person's status is elevated. When he's patient, his status is elevated in Jannah, and in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He replaces a person's problems in this world, meaning that when a person is afflicted with a problem, an illness or any difficulty, then a person is patient, he will see that Allah will replace that situation and put him in a better situation than even before. And this is the lesson that we learn from the story of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. The fourth thing is that a person, he becomes sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is in this situation. When a person is in ease and relaxed, then he doesn't turn to Allah as much. He doesn't pray with that much sincerity. He doesn't make dua with that much sincerity. It's an opportunity for a person to get close to Allah and build a relationship with Allah and build some kind of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a chance for a person to do that. So this is something that we should take advantage of. Also, we can find that when a person is afflicted, their reality comes out. And you can be your own judge, that a person claims to be very patient, a person claims to be very pious, but then when he is afflicted by problems, then the reality of the person, the real character of the person, it emerges. So when I am afflicted with a problem, when I am afflicted with an illness, I should look in the mirror and see how I react to that. Am I really the patient person that I claim to be? If not, then I should change myself and I should bring about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly wants me to be. He wants me to be a patient person. He wants me to have attributes and good qualities. I should try to bring them into my life. And this is an opportunity for one to reflect upon one's own character and see where a person actually stands. And the sixth opportunity is that a person can follow the people who did sabr. He can be, if he is patient, he can be with Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, inshaAllah, on the Day of Judgment, amongst the sabireen. Inna Allaha ma'a sabireen. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is with the people of sabr. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in hand, and gives us the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba. There are some announcements that I need to make, inshallah, and after that we will have